You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians, if you would. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our Father, we've opened thy word, so we're looking for you to help us understand that which we need to understand. And so our God and Father will thank you very much, Spirit of God, for your working, outworking of all your goodwill. We're counting on it in the light of Calvary's cross, in the light, Lord, of your saving grace. So thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise, as we've been looking and sharing in the light of God's word, to remind us that God has a wonderful, wonderful position. And like we tried to share this morning, it has to be everything in all of his creation has to be of him. And it will be. Right now, it is not. And in the darkness, the world system makes it a big lie to tell about God. You don't need God. God didn't have to go to the cross. God didn't have to go to the cross in perfect man. It was having a perfect human body to go and pay the price for our sin. He didn't have to do that. And to think that you need God in your heart, that you need to have such a relationship to God, that you start the day with God, you go through the day with God, you go forever with God. That's what heaven is all about, enjoying God, his wonderful fullness. That's what's supposed to be for us humans here on earth. And the big lie, like we shared all that stuff, lie is that you really don't need God that much. And we can really eliminate God, perhaps, and be very religious, etc. Now, so, in the light of that, here we have, as we're reading in Ephesians 6, and we went down to the, as we're looking, the whole armor of God, and in particular, in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that assumes the sandals, the shoes, are already on your feet. Having your feet shod, having them covered. You have your shoes on. And these shoes, as we shared, are military boots. They have cleats on the bottom of them, so that when the big officers didn't wear them, but the regular soldiers did. They're the ones that go out to battle. They're the ones that stand against the enemy coming against you. And they had shoes on so that when they stood together and lined up, they didn't slide so easy. And when they had to go forward, they had footing, firm footing. Thus, in verse 6, 15, the preparation, the preparedness, prepared, readiness, establish a firm footing, a foundation, having your feet shod with the readiness, the firm footing that the shoe gives you in the light of battle, in the light of standing firm, in the light of resisting the enemy, the firm footing those sandals, those shoes give you, boots give you. Now, and thus, in verse 15, that your feet shod with the preparation, with the readiness of the gospel of peace, with the readiness which the gospel gives, the readiness, what does the gospel give you? What does the good news give you? A wonderful firmness, a wonderful solidness for your foot. So whether you're on any kind of ground, whatever kind of ground you're on, and you have to hold your ground, those sandals are made to take care of the occasion in the battle that you would have to go to fight. They give you the firm footing, whatever the ground is, whatever you're up against. The shoes are there. So when you go, your feet are protected, and your feet are able to have a good, the feet enjoy the good news of the gospel of peace, the peace that belongs to the gospel. God's wonderful good news. Christ died, buried, and rose again according to the scriptures. And then you have the New Testament and the Old to fill in the gospel, the good news in the midst of all bad news, the good news, always good news, always good news, always able to keep you so as you go in the daily battles of life, to be able to have firm footing, to be at peace. The gospel that gives you peace. Now, how does that work? How does that come out? Now, having said that, over if you would to Ephesians, and in Ephesians chapter 2, and you will note, in Ephesians, and before I do that, in verse, what we're looking at to help us understand, we need firm footing because, verse 12, 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're up against the enemy. Now, keep in mind, over to Ephesians and in chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, you would recall, before we came to know the Lord, what are humans facing? Ephesians 2, picking up, please, in verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked, you had your daily life according to the course of this world system, according to the Spirit that now worketh, right now it's working, right this second, in the children of disobedience that don't believe. They don't believe, and in the darkness, they don't believe, and what's keeping everything going in what way? To leave God out of the picture, to keep God from being in the picture, to avoid God. Darkness hates light. Now, and having said that, so the prince, the world ruler, remember in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, he's the god of this Satan, the god of this world system. He's the boss. He's the top man, as it were. He's the top man. And so therefore, in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were part of the system. When God saves us in the gospel, it saves us out from the system. That's what God does in his saving grace. He saves us out from the system. So therefore, we're in the system. The principalities and powers, we're in it. It's here, the world system. That's a system. Satan is the boss. And then we've got the principalities and powers. And the principalities, when you read that word, which we'll look at, when you read that, think of position. Position. Principality, the first. First, second, third. The top. The general. The king. The top. The top, and you come down. The principalities, it's position. The position. The system is like everything else in life, is full of the different status and stages of leadership and of ownership and of power. And here they are. And so in the light of that, the powers are there. The devil is the top. And the powers, they have positions like general, captain, corporal, everything else. They have that. And you have not only the powers, but you have the principalities and you have the powers. And the word powers, think of authority. Having position, they have a position, they have authority. The word authority includes two little words, might and power, position, authority to do something. They have the authority to practice, and they have the power to practice their authority. That's what they do, principalities and powers. And the world system is under it. The world system does not include light. It does not include God. It leaves God totally out when God is supposed to be totally in. It leaves God out. It's a big lie. And we all live in the lie because we live in the system of darkness now, like we did. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here are all these principalities and powers, and they ought to be exercised in a most wonderful way. And in the process of doing so, just so you see it, since you're right here in Ephesians, if I can, picking up, please, in verse 21. Far above all, our Lord, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world, in that which is to come. God is at the top. God is at the top of all principalities and powers, and we're going to touch that on in a minute. And having said that, so, and Ephesians chapter 3 again, the church has an assignment to hold the ground and the readiness that the peace of God makes possible, so that our foot, so when we have to move, when we have to walk, when we have to go from hour to hour, day to day, we have our feet shod with the gospel of peace. What do you mean? The full benefits of God's word, which gives the heart. Remember we shared last time, we're enemies of God. When we come to know the Lord as our Savior, we become his friend, as it were. We're enemies. That's how we start. Well, why are we enemies? Because we're under the system of darkness, and God condemns the darkness. Now, having said that, so therefore, chapter 3 and verse 10, to the intent purpose that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So the church's job is to let people know that God belongs in every single life, in all of his creation. All of his creation must involve God. It's all about God's glorious person. Now, having said that, so God, the church, here we hold our ground, firm footing, our feet are locked on in the midst of principalities and powers, and it's all there. And God has to help us. And therefore, as we had in chapter 6, etc., verse 12, the principalities and powers are there, and we need to exercise those principalities and powers. Now, in exercising them, we share together that we are not like Israel. Israel, Joshua 1, etc., was to take every place that the sole of their foot shall tread. God had already given them the land, and they were to take the land that God had assigned to the nation of Israel. And they were to take that land. And that's all they had to do was believe and take it. And the ground that they walked on was holy ground. It was God's set apart, that ground, that piece of property for them to live and to be a nation, to show all the nations of God's grace. That's what their job was. We aren't trying to possess any land. Our footage, what we're standing firm on, we aren't trying to get ground. We aren't trying to have something. Because when you got saved, God saved you out of the system. He saved you out from your family, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, all the way back to Adam. He saved you from the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. And God saved you from that whole system. And that's what we saved us from. God saved us from all of it in a most wonderful way. And he gives, that's the gospel. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, well, if you can, over in the light of that, looking to God's word as we need to. So, and going to try to put that together in a little different way, maybe. So here's the enemy. And the enemy is there, and we live in the midst of the enemy. We are surrounded by the enemy. We were the enemy, and our old sin nature is still the enemy. And we're to hold our ground in the midst of it all. Why? Because God has saved us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Over to John, Gospel of John. And remember, in chapter 14, our Lord in the upper room prepared the disciples of what they were going to have to face, which is what we're looking at. In chapter 14 of John and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not N-O-T as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm going to give you my peace." You live in a very troubled, troubling world that's in trouble. "I'm going to give you my peace." Not like the world. Wrong kind of peace. Not that kind. "I'm going to give you my peace so that you can handle it, having your feet shod, your shoes on, to be able to handle what? The enemy, so that you have the feet shod with the gospel of peace, so that you can handle. God, what do you mean? I'm no more an enemy. God, I'm on God's side. I represent God. And I'm able to go and do that because of the gospel, because of the peace of God that took care of all my sin, that gives me a wonderful relationship to God, so that John chapter 16, John 16, and you'll note John chapter 16, going over to the last verse 33, in the upper room still. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, in Christ, you might have peace." Where are you going to get the peace? In Christ. John chapter 14, 27. "I'm giving you my peace. And because I'm going to be your Savior and your God, I am going to give you the peace that I have. I'm going to give you the good news. I'm going to give you the good news to be able to handle principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you can, so God's going to go and give us that. Now, having said that, and since you're in John, over to chapter 17. And in chapter 17, you'll remember, God saves us in a most wonderful way, and he leaves us in the world. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Because, why? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou to God, to the perfect humanity, to the Father. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. Now, God leaves us in the world system. He leaves us in it. That's what he does. Why does he leave us in it? Verse 18, so that as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So there, as I was up and down the land of Palestine, making it known that God would die on the cross in Christ, was making that known. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to know until Christ has died on the cross, and we're the result of that. We're the saved believers. And believers represent the grace of God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And what are they going to do? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you don't have to turn there. And we shall see power, dynamite, dynamic, dynamo, the words, English words. God will see power that we can be his witnesses, not only where we are, Jerusalem, Judah, and the whole world. Wherever we are, we aren't taking a piece of property. No, we're just here to be a light as we go about our business. And that's all we're doing. But in order to be the light in a world that hates light, you have to have the armor of God on. And in order to do so, and because all the arguments and all everything that goes with the whole system, we have to have peace. We have to have the good news that God has done a wonderful thing in 1,000% saving us, keeping us, doing all that's needed and all that's necessary for us to proceed in a world that hates us. I leave them in the world. They're not of the world. The world hates them. But I am going to what? I'm going to provide the whole armor. I am going to be their armor. They're going to represent me. And just as I went up and down planet in Jerusalem, Palestine, for 3 1/3 years, and then I went to the cross, they're going to go up and down the land, Acts 1:8, wherever they go, wherever they are, they're going to go. And I am going to take them. I am going to be with them. I am going to be in them. I am going to be for them. And we're going to go up and down, said God, up and down the land, wherever, work, home, school, that's what we're going to do. And we're going to hold our ground. The world doesn't want us. They hate us. They hate me, said God. But I've given you the sandals. I've given you the shoes that you need to be able to stand, to withstand principalities and powers. All the system that is negative, that takes away everything that God would like to do and God would like to be in your life. Now, having said that, and keeping in mind in Acts chapter 15 and verse 14 and that, what are you doing, God? You're taking out a people, Gentiles, Jews, they got a wonderful future, but Gentiles, you're taking Jews and Gentiles, that's what you're doing right now. I'll go down, I'm looking for a man over there, a girl over here. I want them saved. I died for all of them to be saved. Therefore, be saved. Oh, they don't want to be saved. Well, I'm going to find the whosoever's that would believe. And I want you to do it. I'm going to take the whosoever over here and the whosoever over here. I'm going to save them and save them. And I'm going to do that, Romans 11, until the times of the Gentiles be finished. That's what I'm doing. I'm saving whosoever's. I'm not saving the system. I'm letting the system, I'm letting a light walk up and down the work, school, home, the street, the bus. To what? To see who might be saved. All can be saved. I died for all of them. And I'm making it known in my grace that they can be saved. Now, having said that, principalities and powers, and as we back over, if I can, remember we read in Ephesians 1:20, chapter 1, verse 21, that Jesus Christ, he is risen. He is risen. How high is he risen? He's risen above. Here's the system. He's risen above all principalities and powers. He's the top. He's the top of the pile. Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings at the top of the pile. He is. Now, having said that, I want to understand. We'll see it in a second, maybe, in Philippians, you know. And the peace of God will pass all understanding. So you're at peace. The gospel of peace that gives you solidarity, a firm footing. How so? We said, share together, Ephesians 1:21. Go over with me, please, to Colossians. And in Colossians, if I can, Colossians in chapter 1. And you will note, Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to go, our Lord, remember, he's risen, risen above all principalities and powers. And by the way, chapter 1, verse 16, and by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. By him and for him. That's what he did. They're all his. He's the boss of the boss of all the different. He's the boss of the system. The system leaves God out and wants you to leave God out of the whole picture. The devil wants that. God said, no, I have to be in the whole picture. The whole thing from start to finish. So we go chapter 1, Colossians, verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. That's the church. Here we are sitting, representing the church, the local church. Here we are, assembled together. He's the head, he's the boss of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence, have first place. Not principalities and powers, they don't have first place. Christ has first place. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father, in him should all fullness dwell. Now Christ is full, is wonderful, wonderful person. He's the boss. In him are principalities and powers. He's the boss. And what are we doing? We're putting on the whole armor of God. And God is that armor. The gospel concerning God's wonderful peace will keep you, cause you to stand firm. Go over with me again in Colossians. And in Colossians, if I may, chapter 2. And in Colossians chapter 2, remember, in God, God is at the top, in Christ. Christ at the top. He's the boss. 4, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He's God, which is what we share this morning. That's the big lie, that God isn't. that God really didn't give his whole person into the humanity of Jesus Christ. And then he did that so that he could give his whole person into you and me. That can't be. Ah, but it is. So that God becomes the centerpiece. Now, so therefore, in the light of that, his Godhead bodily. Now, verse 10. And we are complete. Remember the word fullness in verse 9. Complete in verse 10. Full. And you are complete. Full. Filled full. Where are we filled full? In him, which is the head over all, what? Principality and power. Yeah, he's the boss. God in you is the boss of all principality and powers. And the God of this world, that you were under his domain. You came to know the Lord as your Savior. And God took you from that domain, that bondage, and set you free, and set you in his wonderful person. And he's the top of the pile. He's God. He has his position. And we're to what? Enjoy the position, the gospel, the good news of what? Peace. Wonderful tranquility, a wellness, a wholeness of being, wonderfully so. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, Colossians, sliding down a little further, in verse 15, and being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. God forgave you in a most wonderful way and gave all your sin. And he took the law and took it, nailed it to the cross. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. In other words, the law, what was the law? The law was asking for that which we did not have to give, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. He fulfilled the law in every way. The law said, the wages of sin is death, and he died. Now, verse 15, what else happened? And having spoiled, taking and setting free, looking at something, and having set it, looking at your spirit, to strip off your clothes. God, what did you strip off on the cross? You died. Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent, will crucify the seed of the woman. Christ was crucified by the system. The God of this world and the world system, crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar, and we crucified him. We nailed him to the cross. And what did you do, God? You took that in your own body on the tree. And what did you do? You bore. You took your enemy. What did you do? The principalities and powers, the God of this world. They took you to the cross. And when they took you to the cross, you paid the penalty for sin. And all of us that they were trying to keep in bondage are now set free because Christ, when he died, took the principalities and powers and took those and he paid. They pushed him on the cross, and without ever understanding it, they went and he paid the price of sin. The wages of sin is death. He paid that price so that he sets us free from the principalities and powers. And the principalities and powers don't have any place because he created the principalities and powers. He died to save us from the principalities and powers. And Christ in you is what? He brings you the gospel of peace. So what? The battle's won. The job is finished. I set you free. And therefore, you're in the world. You're going to have shoes on so that you can stand against. The whole thing's against you. You're representing God's saving grace. And that, why can you do that? Because Christ died on the cross and terminated the whole arrangement, and he became the boss, and hell is prepared. Matthew 24:25. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what's there. He finished the job. And you represent God's grace. Here you are on planet Earth going around. And you know, because you're his body, his fullness, in a most wonderful way. Now to see that, back over to Philippians. In Philippians, if I may. Chapter 4, as you know, verse 7. And the peace of God, Philippians 4, 7. And the peace, I'm going to go to verse 6, little context quickly. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, don't worry about anything. You don't have to worry about anything. Stop, literally, stop, command. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. Stop fretting. You don't have to do that. No, no. Why? You've got your shoes on, the gospel of peace. You can stand your ground. You don't have to back off. You don't have to back down. You don't have to run away. Keep your shoes on and hold your ground against the principalities and powers and the whole dumb system. And when you do so with thanksgiving. And if something comes up that is real, gets you down, you bring that request to me with thanksgiving. I'll take care of it. We're going to get through it all. And how are we going to get through it all? Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. How are you going to go? You're going to go in the peace of God, which passes all understanding. That's why we did a little bit to help you understand why you have peace. Because God took the enemy that keeps you from peace, he took it to Calvary's cross, and he left them. He paid the penalty that they were trying to get you to never have to think about. You need to be saved. You don't have to think of it. He doesn't want us to think of it. The devil wants us to stay in darkness. So, and God went to the cross and brought us into the light, and that light, all the darkness in the world can't do one thing against the light. No matter what, the thickest darkness you could find cannot put out the little candle. They can't do it. Now, put on the whole armor. Put on the shoes so that you can stand and withstand. And that's why we took a little bit, because it says what? The peace of God which passes all understanding. In other words, you aren't going to understand. Well, we did try to understand. We did try to understand. Christ went to the cross and made it all possible. So therefore, that's an awesome, wonderful, wonderful thing that God has done that. And are you going to understand it? No. No. Are you going to understand how it works? Not necessarily, not at all. But God's going to do it. God's going to do it because you're resting in what? The gospel. The gospel, the good news that overcomes all news. You're going to trust the gospel, and it gives peace, a wonderful, wonderful well-being, a wholeness. Over to Isaiah 26. And we'll have to stop with that. But hope you got a little bit. Isaiah chapter 26, and you know it. This is looking into the kingdom, God. How can you be safe in the kingdom? Because Chapter 26 of Isaiah, verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. What kind of wall do you have? We have God's saving grace. Well, what do you have around you? You have your shoes on, the whole armor of God. What do you got? You're going to have to trust God in every way. You're going to trust God. And remember we had a little shirt. God, I have my old nature, and I have a wonderful relationship to God, and I need to exercise that relationship to God. And so I'm going to go, and I can just, all I got to do is thank you, say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for being everything I'm not. I'm not, but God is. God is. So, thank you very much. And the gospel of peace will take care of it. I don't know that. Do you understand it all? How God's going to do it? No, I don't. Do you need to? No, you don't. You just know what you need to know is it's good news. What you need to know that all of that I'm going to do in your life is going to be what? All things, Romans 8:28. All things work together for what? For good to them that love God, called according to his purpose. That's right. They're all going to work out. That's what we're going to do. That's the spirit of God's ministry, to make it work out. You aren't going to understand it. You're going to trust God in the pain and the heartache and everything you're going through and all the dumb system that we live in. And God is giving us a little grace nationally at the moment and maybe changing the world's, making it ready for his, making it ready for the next event. Anyway, thank you. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so therefore, don't want to miss out on what the whole thing is. Therefore, verse 3, thou will keep him, the word keep to guard safely, thou will keep him in perfect peace. And the word perfect is the same word as the word peace, shalom, shalom. Peace, peace. Perfect peace. God will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, whose thought process, whose mind is stayed, supported, right, like you're resting in the pew, letting it down, letting the pew be the pew, you're letting God be God, and God will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, resting down, supported by him, stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. God is able to go and do wonderful things. The gospel of peace. Keep your shoes on. Understand, God said you can do it. Oh, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And I didn't do it. I don't make it. I didn't die on the cross. Christ died so that I could die, because I would never go to the cross. I'm a coward. I wouldn't do it. But he did for me, for you. And that's the wonderful good news, the gospel. So that what? Can you stand? People can say and do, the whole world can try to say, you have no right to go to heaven. You have no right to be saved. I absolutely agree with them. I don't. But God has every right to save me. And God has every right to save you. Period. And we need to trust him. So, our Father and God, we thank you for the little bit and help us a little more each inch as we inch along, that we might understand the whole armor, the wonderful thing you've done for us, to be able to stand and to withstand, that God in Christ, all principalities and powers must answer to him, and thus they must answer to him in the heart of the believer. And therefore, God, you keep us in perfect peace, whose mind and heart is resting on you. So thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, Amen. Thank you.